Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 112, recorded on December 14th, 2010. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators. I'm Michael Johnston, and we are doing... I forgot how to do this. How many times have I done this? What are we talking about?
What you need to do, Michael, is say something like, "Alrighty then, it's time for We Have Communicators, the podcast where we talk about everything iOS. I'm Michael Johnston."
Yes. How's that? Yes, and I'm Jeff Gamet, right?
And with us tonight is Bill Palmer.
Right.
Oh
no.
Wait, Adam.
Yes.
No, it's Adam Christensen from the Mac Observer and Jeff Gamet. Did I seriously just do that? That was not intentional. Adam Christensen from the Mac.
Well, you're actually somewhat right.
Yeah, that's true. You do work with Dave. So Adam Christensen, MacCast, Jeff Gamet,
yes.
Playboy.
Only on Tuesday evenings.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm all confused now.
Yeah, me too. Oh, okay. So we're here talking about the iPhone.
Boys are outies, girls are innies.
Oh.
Now, make sense
perfectly
now?
Clear. Yes.
All right.
I get it.
We clearly have nothing to talk about tonight.
We have tons of stuff to talk about.
We do. We have lots of stuff to talk about. There are things in the show notes. The first thing at the top of the notes, Apple has finally rolled out the rumored 90-second song preview thing. So now it's no longer 30 seconds. I think from... most everything, right? It's 90 seconds for just about all the songs. I've only tried
it a
couple
times. Holiday stuff.
Really?
Oh.
That's interesting.
I only noticed because I forget why, but we were looking up some of the Bare Naked Ladies holiday music, which is excellent, by the way. And I had said to my wife, I said, oh, she wanted to hear some specific lyrics, and she listened to it, and she got the 30-second clip, and it cut off right before the lyrics she wanted to hear. And I said, oh yeah, Apple's supposed to roll out 90 second previews at some point. And it was the day they had rolled them out. And so I saw the PRs and I'm like, wait a minute. I know that was only a 30 second preview. So I did some other searches and found most of the Bare Naked Lady tracks on iTunes were 90 seconds, but none of the holiday tracks. So I don't know what that means.
Well, it'd be interesting to go check now and see if they're many seconds.
May have been updated now. Yeah, I can do that while we're sitting here.
Cool.
Do that.
Yeah, Bare Naked Ladies holiday. Blah blah blah. Hang on.
Yeah, Bare Naked for the holidays.
Oh yeah, now it's 90 seconds now.
Cool.
Yep. There you go.
So they were going through and updating that day. I guess it probably took a while to get all the new previews rolled out.
Yeah, I like it. It's much better now. Obviously, they did it to get a better feel for, you know, whatever music you're previewing. It used to be, you know, I'll listen to 30 seconds and like, that's not enough. And then I go to YouTube.
And 230 is the cutoff, by the way. You know that, right?
No.
So if the song length, the total length of the song is under 2 minutes and 30 seconds, you get the 30 second preview.
That's smart.
If it is over 2 minutes and 30 seconds, you get the 90 second preview.
There have been occasions with some stuff, that's like 30 seconds or under, it still plays 30 seconds. So it's pretty, yeah. Like there is one, Deck the Stills on this album. We're talking about 31 seconds. It's 30 seconds long. So you pretty much get the entire song.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything you can do about that.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do with the...
but it's nice. It is nice to have the longer previews.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
So next up, next generation iPad stuff. According to Reuters, they have sources saying that, yes, there will be a rear camera on the next iPad. They also say that it's going to be thinner, which is ridiculous. Again, we talked about that. So.
Okay, this sound... that's me beating my head against my microphone for how stupid that is.
You know, I would just like to interject that a listener emailed me the other day and said that he's been listening to shows from long ago in which you, Jeff Gamet, call fakety fake on just about everything that has actually happened.
Email him back and ask him to go through and
make a list.
Make those into a mashup. We need a mashup.
Mashup. Absolutely. Well, he's probably listening.
So mash it up with Jeff saying fakety fake fake fake, and then Steve Jobs announcing it would be even cooler.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Oh, that would be fantastic. I'd love to hear it. And first off, someone actually going back and listening to the podcast to see if when I call fakety fake 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 fake, if ultimately I'm wrong. Okay, that's just awesome. So good for you, and I'm more than happy to admit that many things that to me seem completely foobarred for design ideas ultimately do come to fruition because Apple has a very different vision of how these things are going to be used than I do. Now, that said, I'm calling fakety fake 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 on the rear facing camera on the iPad because
or we could just call yeah sorry.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me. So I guess what that actually means is everyone's going to be walking around with their big ass iPads in their hands, walking into things, taking photos.
Or maybe they're using like a browsing the internet plus augmented reality application.
There you go.
Yeah, because what I want to do is hold up an iPad and walk down the street and bump into people.
Well, no. You'd have a translucent view of, well, whatever you're looking at on the internet, and then behind that is, you know, who you're about to walk into at the mall or whatever.
Yeah.
Does anybody find it really hilarious that, you know, Jobs over at Pixar like puts out all these visions of things and then creates technology over at Apple to make them come true? And I'm specifically talking about WALL-E. You know, where everybody's just in their little world looking at their little screen.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know, and that seriously, go into a Starbucks right now or go into any public coffee space, any place pretty much with free Wi-Fi or even not any in the mall. Walk around the mall and look at what people are doing as they're walking around. They've got their phone out or they have their.
So you're saying it's like.
Out.
You're saying WALL-E
exactly
is like
that.
Pre-commentary on society?
Exactly.
It's like, this is what you're about. You're going to be doing this in 9 months.
Well, not only that, but a lot of people considered WALL-E to be this sort of warning movie, right?
Well,
warning
sure,
about
yeah.
what could happen to us if technology keeps going, taking us on this path that we're on. Yet then Apple turns around and creates the reality that can make that path happen. So it says, it's this weird dichotomy. If you really think about it.
Yeah.
So maybe Steve Jobs has been toying with us, you know, throughout movies
exactly.
like WALL-E and say, this is what I'm going to do to you. And now
exactly.
he's doing it.
Exactly. Well,
maybe we should view all Pixar balls. Movies as a warning.
But it's true. I mean, so to your point, if we're suddenly all walking around holding iPads in front of us, looking at a virtual reality of the reality that's in front of us, that's exactly what was going on in WALL-E.
Well,
yeah, they didn't even realize there was a swimming pool on the ship.
Right.
Yeah. Well, as long as we don't end up with a professional wrestler as a president at any point, as an idiocracy, then I'll be okay with it. But also, according to Reuters, back on topic.
Oh, I also want to just say we could just switch fakety fake 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 to stupidy stoop stoop stupid.
The part about an iPad that's half the size of the current model. That's what they also think. They think that there's going to be a different.
I was busy laughing at what Adam said and didn't hear anything.
7-inch iPad.
No, I don't. Are they saying 7-inch? I think they say half the size.
Smaller iPad.
Oh, what do these people smoke? I mean, if you're going to make. An iPad that's half the size of the current iPad, why don't you just make something like, oh, I've got it, the iPod Touch.
Right, exactly. So, but what do you guys think about all these cases that are coming out? There are various case makers that are producing cases which have not only a spot for a rear-facing camera, but also for what seems to be a... SSD card reader slot.
Well,
so
aren't there like 87 million other tablet form factor things coming out next year?
Yeah, those could be for any of the tablets that have a similar size and shape to the iPad.
Don't they all? I mean, how different in dimensions are any of these tablets, other than, you know, this one's 7 inch, this one's 5 inch, this one's 10 inch.
The big difference that you're seeing when you're looking at tablets that are essentially the same screen size, for the most part, it's thickness.
But even then, is there much difference? I mean, is there a lot of, I haven't been out shopping out a lot of tablets. Like, I haven't seen the Galaxy Tab yet or any of these other things. But Apple's kind of set a standard that I think everybody's trying to at least match, right? Or am I wrong on that?
Well, no, they're trying to match that, but with lower cost components, which in many cases means bigger components. So a lot of the other tablet devices that are coming out are quite a bit thicker than the iPad. So, you know, like at least half an inch thick, and in some cases even thicker.
Well, are you guys looking at these the photos of these right now here on Mac Rumors?
That's like as thick as my original iPhone, maybe, or maybe even thicker.
Well, what I'm seeing that kind of tips me off to it being designed for the iPad is the fact that there's a little cutout for the home button on a lot of these cases. And that all of the spots line up exactly. So there's a spot for the dock connector. You know, if there wasn't a dock connector, if it was USB, you know, why would it be dock connector sized in the cases?
Well, how do you know that slot on the side is an SD card slot? Maybe it's a dock slot.
For a second slot on the side?
Yeah, so you can portrait mount it.
Well, it's just interesting that these case makers are producing cases for something that, you know, it's either they have no information on it and they're just making it because, hey, we're messing around and wasting money, or, you know, we've gotten something.
They've never done that before.
We've gotten a tip from someone who we think might be credible and we're, you know, going to start
hedging
producing
our bets.
These. Sure.
So, good point, Adam. This would not be the first time that companies out of China, excuse me, have manufactured a case for an Apple device before it comes out, and that's not the device that comes out.
Well, right. I mean, if you look at the iPod Touch, the one that was supposed to have a camera on the back and ended up didn't, those designs were based on actual devices that Apple was pre-producing. Remember, we did see those.
Right, but so that brings us back to the point that this could be, I'm positive Apple has a million, or not a million, but a bunch of different form factors and different things that they're testing out. I mean, Jobs even admitted that they tested out a bunch of 7-inch designs, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, you know, somebody in China could have seen a prototype thing and went, oh they're going to come out with that. We better start making some cases.
Fair enough.
And again, these could also be prototype cases, right? They could just be doing some designs to have something ready for manufacturing. We don't know that they're actually mass producing these cases, right?
No, I don't think we do.
No, we don't know that at all.
So...
Now, okay, so now the SD card slot that's being rumored.
That makes a little bit of sense to me.
That does.
Yeah.
I could see something like that, especially because Apple has been putting SD card slots on Mac laptops for a while now. Excuse
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and the popularity of the camera connection kit, and it just means it's integrated. You don't have to buy this extra dongly thing hanging off your iPad.
Right. So I could see an SD card slot happening. Rear-facing camera, I'm really having a hard time with that. And and I'm sure that our listener that's been going through checking everything will be quick to point out that I did call fakety-fake on a rear-facing camera on the iPod Touch.
Right.
Now, I was almost correct on that. And I say almost correct because the photo quality off of that camera is really low. So it's almost like not having a rear-facing camera.
Stupidy, stupid, stupid, stupid. and I just realized that I probably, by saying that the SD card slot makes sense for, you know, because of the popularity of the camera connection kit, someone could probably argue that then the USB port also makes sense. But I think that more people with their digital cameras are dealing with SD cards than actually plugging a camera into the USB port. So if I had to pick between one or the other of those connectors being integrated, I would choose the SD card slot.
So would
right,
so.
Yeah. So did you guys hear the rumor? According to New York Times, Microsoft will again be at CES again to talk about tablets.
Oh, my God.
And I went back to last year's presentation by Steve Ballmer, showing off the tablets. With,
or almost showing them off.
Well,
and look, here's tablets, bye. And they were off to something else.
The you know, slate.
Pegatron, HP, right, and some other random you've never heard of us before company with... all running what seems to be just like standard Windows operating system on a touchscreen, which is, you know, as we know, what has been failing for the last like 10 years.
All right. So sitting through that keynote last year, the people on either side of me, because, you know, well, we're all media at something like that because it's CES. So the people sitting on either side of me taking notes for their publications, when Ballmer got to the point finally where he was going to talk about the slates, we all went, okay, great, here we go, here's the good info. And I don't think it was any more than 2 minutes for the whole slate thing.
Yeah.
And when he was done and moved on, we're all looking at each other and we're going, what the hell just happened? Which was basically how we went through the entire keynote that he did. I mean, the whole thing, we were just like, what the hell is this? What the hell just happened? And then the keynote ends and we're looking at each other going, is it over? Huh. Okay. And we just kind of all got up and left. No one had a clue it had ended. It looked like they were in the middle of something and then they just walked away. So redoing the slate thing. All right. I can't wait to see what they do this year.
Well, they have to have something more than 2 minutes and they have to have something that's, well, okay. If they want to be successful in demoing a thing, and they also have to have something that, you know, is more than just Windows running on a touchscreen. It has to be a significant redesign of the interface in order to make it fingerable, you know?
And I'm sure there will be some differences. I mean, how different this is going to be from Windows 7 running on other devices, I guess we'll wait and see. But I'm expecting that Ballmer will stand up in front of us and do a rehash of what he did last year. And you would think that with the head start that they would have had last year on Apple, because the iPad wasn't out yet, that they would have really done something cool instead of just kind of in passing waving a little tablet thing around and moving on. So this year, I'm not expecting them to do anything more than that. So if that's what happens, be prepared for some very snide comments on Twitter from me during the keynote.
Good. That's what I always look for, is your snide comments on Twitter.
That's well, you may have plenty on a keynote night at CES.
Good. Well, you're going to be there, right?
Yes.
Good. Good. So, Adam, are you going to be at CES?
I will not.
Okay. Well, at least we'll have one person.
I'll be at Macworld.
But you'll be up. Okay, so we'll connect at Macworld.
Yep.
I will not be at Macworld.
What?
Yep.
That'll be kind of weird not having you there.
I know. It's going to be kind of weird not being there. You're already making me reconsider, so let's stop talking about it. All right. So according to Apple, there will not be... in the Mac App Store, there will not be the distribution of trial applications, no promo codes, no beta versions, no demos, none of that, and no in-app purchases or Game Center in the Mac App Store. So do you think that that is an indication of them wanting to push it out with... you know, just as few features as they possibly can to get it out there? Or do you think they're resigning more control over the Mac App Store because it is the Mac and, you know, they don't feel they need to have that much control over it.
You know, I think, excuse me, what they're doing is creating a virtual version of the Apple Store that you can walk into and buy software. And so it works just like that, except you sit on your ass in front of your computer and download the software instead of getting in your car and driving to the Apple Store and buying it off a shelf. It what they're describing sounds exactly like walking into a store without having to walk into the store.
Yeah, and that's probably what their vision is for the Mac App Store, with the obvious addition of over-the-air updates right from, you know, with
sure
with the application. I guess the biggest concern from people when they heard about the Mac App Store was, of course, how much control Apple ultimately wanted over the Mac application ecosystem. You know, if it would be as much control as they have on the iPhone, then I think a lot of people would be very upset, including myself.
I can't imagine they would do that. That genie is out of the bottle. It's been out for decades now, ever since the original Macintosh shipped. So that's a precedent that's been set. They can't backtrack on that one now. And you know, the missing things that people are complaining about, oh, well, you can't get the trials there won't be betas and things like that. Okay, whatever. Can you walk into the Apple Store and get a beta of an application or a trial version of an application? No, you go to the company's website.
Right, and okay, that's what they're still saying to do. They say, if you want to do that, put it on your website. We're cool with that.
So basically what's happening, the way I see it, is that Apple is just taking what they're doing in their stores and giving people another way to purchase that same software.
Yeah.
Or whatever software people choose to put up there. That's it.
You know, I was reading one article and something that it pointed out that is going to be, I don't know if it's a problem for Apple. I'm sure Apple's already thought about this. But one thing that they're going to lose out on is some percentage of sales if they don't allow trials with some sort of in-app purchase or upgrade. Because many developers, and I've bought a lot of software this way, offer in-app purchase within their demo app.
Right.
So, you know, you download the trial, and then when you want to buy it, you click a button and you stay in the app, and it goes through, you know, some service, and then you just you buy it. So that's a lost 30% for Apple. So either they've already thought about that and they don't care, or they're just, you know, launching it this way, and I would imagine those other features will come later if they want to maximize profits from, you know, or revenue from an app store thing. So it doesn't make sense from a business standpoint when you really think about it. I understand why they're doing it for all the reasons that Jeff already mentioned, but I did think that was a little bit odd. And when I hadn't really thought about it till that article pointed it out. And I apologize to whoever wrote it because I forget who mentioned it.
Yeah, it seems to me like they're trying to simply provide a good application directory and aggregate all of the possible applications for the Mac, because of course that's always been kind of an issue.
It makes it easier because they had already been doing that on the web, and I wonder how much of that content is actually going to be coming from the web-based sort of app store that they already had.
Right.
Not really an app store, but you know, that
app
aggregator
directory. Yeah. So let's see here. Well, according to HP, they've updated the firmware of 6 of their printers to add AirPrint. And of course, HP is the only company that has AirPrint capability in their printers still, until Apple actually releases a proper tweak for Mac OS X or Windows. And the only reason I bring this up, because, you know, I don't really care, because it's dumb that we still don't have AirPrint, is because there is something called AirPrint Activator from netputing.com. And there will be a link in the show notes. You simply download this for your Mac, type in your password, and it does all the tweaks necessary to enable AirPrint on your Mac. It's free. Again, it's going to be in the show notes, and you should check it out.
Yeah, I've been using Printopia.
Yeah, is that, that's one of
them. Dreamtopia is really cool.
Is that from, what's the company?
Ecamm.
Ecamm, yeah. They do a good job with stuff. I haven't tried Printopia, but you know, if Adam Christensen recommends
it. So the AirPrint activator, it has the advantage of being free. But if you want something, I don't know, AirPrint activator is just sort of like a switch, right? You just, you turn it on.
No frills. But no frills. With Printopia, you get way more. You get
You get a little system preference. You can send directly to Dropbox if you're a Dropbox user, so you can print a PDF to Dropbox. You can also print directly to a shared to a Mac. So just save a PDF right onto your Mac directly from your iOS device, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
I need to get Printopia. I'm going to download
it. It's well worth the I want to say it's $9.99 or it might have been $8.99. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it's $9.95. Like $10. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's pretty.
It is. It
or at least
pretty.
It has a pretty icon.
Well, there's not much more you can do. It's just
right. It's a system preference pane. So
yeah, it's good. Let's see here. Oh, AirPlay. Our friend Erica Sadoon has released a bit of proof of concept code. She's calling it, what is it called? AirPlayer. So, you know, you can send video to your Apple TV from your iOS 4 device, and now you can send it to your Mac with AirPlayer. So it's, like I said, proof of concept, so it's not full-featured, it's very bare-bones, and it's not pretty or anything. But what it does do is allow you to send any video or audio from your iPad or iPhone or what have you, 4.2, to your Mac as you would with any other AirPlay device. And I tried
Erica is so smart.
She really is. I love Erica. She does.
We need to get her back on. She's been doing a lot of AirPlay hacking lately, which is kind of cool. I mean, she was right out there with the playback hack too for third-party apps, right?
The playback? What are you talking
about? So you could. So she did a hack where you could, if you have a jailbroken iPhone or iPad, play video from other apps like Netflix.
Oh, did
that
did that come from her? I didn't realize that. Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I have that. I use that all the time. Unfortunately, it does not work with Netflix.
Oh, it doesn't work with Netflix. It works with some of the other ones. Right.
It's not it does. It works with basically everything but Netflix. And I'm guessing it's because Netflix does not have a standard player.
So it works with like the ABC app? You tried that?
I haven't tried it. I have not tried that. But it works with most other applications and it's wonderful.
Yeah, she's been hacking around though. I mean, she's been really digging into AirPlay ever since it came out. And so it's really cool to kind of just watch. She's a follower on... she posted all on unofficial app weblog, UAW.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fun talking with her when she's going on about the stuff she's trying out. She gets this twinkle in her eyes. It's awesome because you realize, oh, she is so far beyond the rest of us in what she's doing with this stuff. This is so cool.
Yeah, it's great. I'll see if I can get her on or something. Let's see here. What else do we have? Apple pulls jailbreak detection API from iOS. Now, as crazy as that sounds, when I first heard that headline, I thought, "Oh, Apple was actually detecting whether there was a jailbreak on the device," and you know, I just assumed it was something that kept devices from working properly if they were jailbroken, right? Well, I looked into it, and of course, this API is something that they had in there for mobile device management in enterprise solutions. So, if someone who was overseeing the distribution and software of enterprise iPhones, then they would be able to detect whether an iPhone had been jailbroken.
Oh.
You know, simply just to determine the security of the device.
That would be important, I would think, for something like that.
Yeah, you'd think so, but they removed it.
Well, yeah, as it turns out, most from what I've seen or heard, most of the enterprise level customers that were using that feature were using it as a supplement to other methods for detecting whether or not the iOS devices under their control had been hacked in any way. And it sounded like this was an API that wouldn't be overly difficult for hackers to trick. Because what happens is the server says, hey, iOS device, have you been hacked? Is your OS still factory standard? And the device is supposed to go, yep. And if it goes, nope, that means it's been jailbroken. But the developers can put in something somehow, and not being a developer, I don't know exactly how it works, but they sure. can put something in that intercepts the nope and sends out a yep. And so the API would then return a false result.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting because, Skype has this in there. If you've ever, I don't know if you guys ever jailbreak, but whenever I first install Skype on my jailbroken iPhone, it always goes, hey, you're jailbroken. You shouldn't be jailbroken. We're very mad at you. And then you hit OK, and then you continue.
So they're not that mad.
They're not that mad, yeah. But there are definitely other ways for developers to detect whether you're jailbroken. So yeah.
But Apple isn't saying why they took it out.
No, they're not. It's interesting that they would. I guess maybe they're coming up with something better. Maybe something that actually...
Yeah, but why take it out in the meantime? So I'm wondering if there was a problem with the way it worked. So they just chose to shut it off while they figure out what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. So did you guys check out the new Apple TV update? It's a minor update. It's 4.2.1.
I haven't gone to run to check yet.
And I'm retro. I still have one the original models.
Yeah. And I think it was already updated to 4.2.1. Wasn't it? And this is just a build number change?
No, I think it was 4.2 and then
was it 4.2? So it's 4.2.1 and the build number incremented.
Correct, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, I played around with it for a few minutes and I did not see anything. I also looked through some forums. They say they haven't seen any improvements with that HDMI issue that you were talking about, Adam. They'd say that hasn't been resolved.
Ugh. Could it be possible? Because I know ATV just came out with their hack, not long ago.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
yeah, that was a couple weeks ago.
ATV Black.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have updated now.
Do you have ATV Black?
No, I hadn't even heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
Is it one word or two?
It's ATV Flash. And then black in parentheses.
Ah, I see it. On Fire? Yeah, so is it FireCore?
It'd be interesting to watch their blog and see if they say it breaks their jailbreak.
Surf the web, weather, Last.fm. Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't have enough in it yet for me to mess around with it yet. They're still working on it. It's in development. It's got some nice features if you're into that kind of stuff and you want to hack your Apple TV, but they haven't fully fleshed out the additional video codec stuff. I think they have a beta version that there's some of that is there, or there's an alpha version that they said they've made some progress with, but
yeah, I would like to get
eventually they'll be able to play other codecs.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be really nice. And it doesn't matter because, even if you're running the processor on that thing full tilt, it's not like you're killing your battery.
Right.
Yeah. I would like to see Hulu on there. But it'd be much harder to get Hulu on there because Hulu doesn't produce an iOS application that just allows you to pull video. So I guess I'd have to include Flash. Some kind of Flash trick.
Right. Well, the old jailbreak, the old Apple TV hack that ATV put out did allow you to add in Flash support.
Yeah, but that was on Mac OS Tiger.
The regular OS, not the iOS version.
Yeah.
Obviously.
A lot more work needs to be done, I suppose. So we seriously don't have much more to talk about. We have our iDevice picks, unless you guys have anything else that you think we missed.
Tron ad.
Oh, the Tron ad.
Oh, tell me more.
First iPad ad is iAd is out for Tron. It's a beta, I guess, kind of a beta. I don't know what Disney's calling it. A preview version.
I think a preview version sounds good.
Yeah, iAd support for the iPad is not supposed to be out till next year. Is that right, Jeff? Am I getting that right?
Well, no, it's available now, from what I understand. It's just that Apple hasn't officially rolled out the whole iAd program yet. For iPad. So the Tron ad is like the proof of concept for iPad, which I guess also would be like, you know, here's the bar. This is what we want everyone shooting for.
Yeah, and so for We Have Communicator listeners, because it took me like way too long to figure out where you could find one of these things. None of the blogs were reporting on actually how you got to the ad.
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
It's in the TV Guide app is the one place I know where it is. And I've launched it and I've been playing around with it kind of as we've been talking. And it's crashed on me 2 or 3 times already.
Oh, that's nice.
So, well, yeah, what's good is it just takes you back to the app. So no big deal. It just crashes you out of the ad.
Ah.
But it has some nice things. It has a music section, and Daft Punk did the soundtrack, I guess.
Yeah. Right. I'm really excited about
that. There's a music video in there, and then there is an album preview. I was trying to see how long, if it's just the, you know, minute 30 previews, or if you get the full album or what. But so you can listen to the music. Yeah, there it goes now.
That's probably derezzed.
Well done.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm even more excited about Daft Punk touring because they've actually released some new music.
And then another nice thing, it has trailers in there. But in the gallery section, I noticed it'll let you save the images.
Oh, cool.
From the iAd. I'm assuming if I save one, it'll go into my photo app.
Oh, yes. And then you can use it as a wallpaper.
Oh, you can save it direct. You can actually save it directly to wallpaper.
Oh, yeah. I think nice. That is one feature of the iAds, is that you can set up wallpapers from them.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a nice feature.
So it has to be it's the TV Guide app for iPad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I think is free.
I believe it is. So yeah, now, Michael, have you seen the original Tron yet?
Oh, of course.
Okay, good. I mean, occasionally we ask you about a very important movie.
No, I agree. No, there are definitely some things that I have not seen that I should have seen. But this one, I've seen Tron.
And okay, good.
I'm very excited
to see. You mean like Holy Grail?
What's that again? No, I think I've seen that. I can't remember.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail. We already talked about this. You put it on your list.
I can't. Yeah, it's on my Netflix. I don't remember if I actually did. We talk about that during last week's show, or was that after the?
I don't know.
There are some things in there. I don't know. You know, there are always some bloopers. I try to put something in there.
I thought that was pretty much everything I said was for the blooper reel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you're working toward that because it makes my searching for bloopers much easier. So I just basically, oh, is Jeff talking now? Okay, good.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm there for you.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Oh, okay, so I'm checking out the Tron. Did you say there's a game involved in this too? Or is it just
video? I didn't see a game, no.
Okay, well, I'm checking it out now.
It's pretty nice. Other than the crashing. But again, they did say it's a kind of a preview version. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, this is fun. Okay. Well, anyway, unless there's anything else to talk about, we can move on to our picks, right? Jeff, you want to go first?
Sure. And hold on, I have to find what I was looking for. All right, I'm probably going to pick something you were going to pick.
Okay. I don't think so, but go for it.
Okay. I was going to pick Infinity Blade.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to pick that. Tell me more.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I'm going with the game this week. So, Infinity Blade, if you remember back at one of the media events, Apple was showing off this, you know, medieval knights slashing monsters and each other with their swords game, and the graphics were just like stellar. And then they released a little demo sort of game, so you could kind of walk around the town where this whole game takes place. And that demo was called Epic Citadel.
Right, right.
Right. Okay, so this is the game that that whole engine uses. And it plays really well on the iPad. Trying to play it on my iPhone, I was having a little bit of trouble. But then again, my eye-hand coordination when it comes to games like that is pretty crappy. But on my iPad, I was doing okay with the game. And by okay, meaning it took me a couple minutes longer to die each time than I expected it would. But the graphics were amazing. When I was just watching it as I was being hacked, I actually just sat there and watched the graphics at one point without fighting back, just so I could see what was going on. It was like I was looking at a really high-quality Xbox-level, you know, console-level game. The graphics are fantastic. The audio is great. It has a really nice music score to go with it, and it's a playable game. And if you're familiar with these types of first person swordplay sort of games, you'll do way better than I'm doing. But the controls are fairly easy. You know, it's some tapping and some swiping. That's pretty much it. And it is a very impressive game, and I think it sets the new standard for realistic looking games on the iPad.
Yeah. I haven't checked it out, but I do remember that demo being quite incredible.
Yeah, and I think the game lives up to the demo that they showed us. And it's not expensive. It's
$6,
and it's universal. So you download once, and you can play it on your iPad and your iPhone. Well, and iPod Touch.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So Adam, what is your pick?
I'm going to do a pick that is. It's going to be a little bit different because it's going to be the best thing that I found for now.
Okay.
And this comes about because I'm dying for a really good outliner on the iPad. And I know Omni's working on theirs. I have Scene Notebook, Circus Ponies. They are a Maccast sponsor, just to disclaimer that. But I have Scene, their version of their iPad app, and I think it's due out relatively soon. So, there's that coming, but until those things show up, I had asked my listeners to recommend any outliner, and pretty much the one that rose to the top was one simply called Outliner for iPad by Carbon Fin, and it does a pretty good job. It's not that full featured. One thing I'm hoping one of these will have eventually, if not right out of the gate, will be syncing with Dropbox. I rely on Dropbox for a lot of stuff. Carbon Fin does sync with its own service. You can sign up for an account. It's free for that, and it will sync. It can also export to OPML and I believe CSV or rich text. I can't remember. You can email the text, or you can email an OPML. So you have those options. I don't think I'm going to plug it in right now. I'm trying to remember. I don't think it had support, which is another missing feature for me, for dragging in through iTunes, you know, through the app thing.
Oh, yeah.
Moving it back and forth through the iTunes interface. So, but it is, you can work with it really quickly. It does the outlining. It'll do the numbering. It auto does the indenting. Just, you know, when you get to a new line, if you starting that line, double tap the space bar, it'll actually do an indent to the next level, which that was one of the features that I've been really looking for. Outdenting or unindenting, whatever it is pretty easy. There's just a button right in the interface. So I was able to work pretty quickly through the app. It's got a lot of the basic features. I haven't had it for long enough to really delve into the advanced features, but it is a very capable outliner. And if you do a lot of that, and that's how I do my show prep. So I was looking for something when I'm, you know, in Reader that I can, where, which is the app I use for my RSS feeds, where I can flip back and forth and I can make my notes and do that pretty easily and then bring it back into my desktop app, you know, which is Notebook or Omni Outliner. I actually use both of them. It worked pretty well for that. So I tried that as a workflow and it did work. So until those native apps come out, it's pretty good. And I think I want to say it was $4.99. If I'm getting the price right.
It is $4.99.
Yeah. So not too expensive and a pretty nice little outliner app.
Cool. All right. So last week I talked about the Kensington, I can't remember what it's called, but it's the dock for the car dock for the iPhone 4. And the other half of my pick from traveling to Florida and back with my iPhone as my navigation device is a GPS app, and that is TomTom USA, or really any TomTom version. So there are several versions on the App Store. There's TomTom USA, there's USA and Canada. I think I have the US and Canada one, but there are many other versions. It's been a while since they released the 1.0 of their application, and it was pretty bad initially. But they've gotten everything, most of the stuff, the important stuff, figured out. They have music controls. The only thing let's talk about the good stuff first. So if you've ever used a TomTom GPS device, it's exactly like that. One of my favorite features is that there's no menu button. It's, you know, as you're navigating and you want to do something, you just tap anywhere on the screen. And that's one of my favorite features. And there's a big mute button right there. So, okay, I need to mute this for a second. All right, tap the screen and mute, and then tap and unmute. So it's real easy. If you want to navigate somewhere else, you hit navigate to. It obviously does turn by turn. Voice direction has a bunch of different voices. This version does now support reading of street names. So if you select one of the computer-generated voices, it will actually read the street names to you, and as well as road numbers and whatnot. It has the option to, if you're playing music in your car, you can either tell it to lower the music to speak directions over the music, or you can put it into audiobook mode and it will pause the music for you, you know, assuming you're listening to like a podcast or an audiobook or something like that. So it'll pause it for, okay, now it's talking. Take the second right. Yeah, it was gone. But so it has that feature. It's a really nice feature for me because I listen to a lot of music and I listen to podcasts, but you know, one is different than the other. I don't want it to lower a podcast because then I'm going to miss something they're talking about. But if it's music, I want it to do that. It also has the ability to include traffic. It's $20 a year. You can buy that in app and it gives you really good traffic. It also has the option to, like any TomTom, avoid part of the route. It has automatic day and night mode, and you can actually change the colors, I believe, for that. So you can specify what you want night mode to look like. And it has a bunch of, you know, really good features such as, you know, adding things to along the way. So you're, you know, driving along to Florida and you think, okay, well, I need to get to a McDonald's at some point. So you just say, I want a McDonald's along the route, you know, stuff that you'd expect. It's really full featured. And it's also very pretty. That's my other favorite thing about this. So I think that, you know, Navigon is really good, but, I've been primarily using TomTom now. In fact, I used to have Navigon on my phone. I'm using TomTom all the time. It's just TomTom for me. So my recommendation for a GPS application is TomTom USA or whichever version you need to use. Obviously, the USA version only includes the US maps. So check it out in the App Store. TomTom USA is $50, but it includes all maps. So you don't have to download anything. So you can actually lose complete service as long as you have GPS reception. then it should work. So yeah, that's my pick.
I thought you were gonna pick Spaced.
Spaced, what's that?
I just saw it on the App Store. It came out this week, and it is a app for reading the news from NASA, the European Space Agency, the UK Space Agency, and a couple other space sources. And it looks really nice.
It does look nice. I think I'm going to be getting that.
When you started out with your NASA story, I thought, oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah, you thought I was going to bring it to NASA. Did you hear that they are going to roll the Shuttle Discovery back into the Vehicle Assembly Building? They've decided to do that.
Really? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were initially, because they rolled it out in October at some point, I think, because they were going to launch on the 5th of November. And,
Isn't that V-Day?
What day?
The day the visitors return.
Oh.
No, remember the 5th of November?
Oh, yes, you're right. Yep. Yeah. So the plan was going to be that it was just going to stick around on the launch pad until, whenever they decide to launch it. Well, they've decided that after they fill it up with, they're going to refuel the entire thing. They're installing tons and tons of sensors, and they're going to basically bring it up to T-minus 30 as far as exactly what they would do until, turning on the engines, basically, to see if the tank can handle the stress of the cryogenic fuels. And then once they do that, they're going to actually wheel it back in to the assembly building and do some tests on it. And then they're going to bring it back out, I think, in like January, because they're planning to launch in February, assuming all the tests go well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're wheeling it back for good reason, so I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
As if NASA is going to contact me and ask what I think about where the space shuttle sits.
Right. Hey, Jeff, I know you ended up giving us like 20 cents from last year. So we want to know what you think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that might be the important 20 cents. I don't know.
Do you think I wonder what percent of our tax money is actually going to NASA?
I like to think that 80% of mine is.
I wish. That'd be great. Then I'd be okay. I'm just going to tell myself that this next year when I pay my taxes, it's all going to NASA.
Yeah, see, I wish there was a little place you could fill in on your tax forms and say, I want my money to go to NASA.
Yeah.
Or to the Forest Department or whatever.
Yeah, something cool.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So with that, of course, you can find our iPhone picks, as well as the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. That is where you find the individual episode posts in which the show notes are posted. And occasionally when there's a drawing that Jeff produces during the show, that will also appear there. You can also leave comments there. We like to see comments. You can sign in with pretty much anything. We use Discus. So sign in, chat with the people. It's all good. It's fun to talk about the show.
Wait, I have to ask about that now.
Sure.
Is it pronounced discus or discuss?
I say discus because that's just how it keeps coming out of my mouth, but it's probably discuss.
That's funny. I've been saying discus as well.
It's yeah, D-I-S-Q-U-S.
And
it's probably supposed to be discuss.
I will say that I am guilty of the same thing. And then somebody corrected me and said, no, it's discuss. And I went, oh,
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But the cool thing, if you don't know what discuss is, it's an open commenting platform. So you can create one account with discuss and comment anywhere, or you can actually use your Facebook login, you can use your Twitter login, so you don't have to create a new thing to comment on wehavecommunicators.com.
Nice.
Yep.
How's the web design coming?
I'll just say that, I won't say anything about it.
Right, well, then I'll talk about something that's actually really happening.
Okay.
I got an email just a few minutes ago. My mug shipped from Zazzle.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so I'll have my own We Have Communicators mug here in a couple days.
Yeah, We may have to work on a shirt. I got an email from another listener regarding a We Have Communicators shirt, so we're going to have to collaborate on doing that, I think.
Well, if people want the same graphic that's on the mug, that wouldn't take me long to do.
Yeah.
If people are expecting something different and they promise to actually go buy it, then I can spend some time and put together a special t-shirt graphic.
Cool. Well, yeah, we'll talk about it off show, and then we'll or they say off mic, I guess. And then we'll update you folks, you listener folks, after we figure something out.
But in the meantime, get a mug because it makes a great holiday gift.
Yes, absolutely.
They do.
Is it Zazzle? Zazzle.com/jgamut.
Right.
That's where you can find the We Have Communicators mug.
And I've gotten photos from a couple people that have mugs.
Oh, awesome. Of them drinking some coffee out of their mug?
No, actually, just, you know, the mug itself. And one of the photos, it's awesome. They actually have a shelf, which I'm assuming it's like in their office, where they have mugs from different shows and companies all lined up. And so then the We Have Communicators mug is on top of the whole stack.
Awesome.
Which is cool. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Can we put those up like in a Flickr gallery or something like that? Maybe we should start a little Flickr group.
I agree.
Oh, that's an awesome idea.
Yeah, we'll do that.
And then people can just post directly to it.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Flickr thing next week when we get that figured out as well.
Cool.
Okay. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com is the email address if you want to send us comments, questions, etc. Of course, Jeff Gamut is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, twitter.com/jgamut. And like I said before, zazzle.com/jgamut, as well as cafepress.com/jgamut. Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, maccast.com, and member.maccast.com is the premium show.
Yeah, there's another topic we didn't talk about. It's somewhat related to iOS stuff, but the updates to Ping. So if you want to hear that, I talk about the latest updates to Ping and how I've changed my opinion a little bit about Ping, or I'm going to start to try and use it more, I guess, is the synopsis of that episode. But if you want to hear all the details, that's on the latest member show.
Cool. Yeah, we should have talked about that, I guess. I mean, is there anything, can you give us a highlight?
The biggest new thing is, and the reason I'm back kind of playing around with it and using it, is that you can now do playlists. That you can put together a playlist and put that out on Ping. And not only that, you can make it so that your friends on Ping can add to that playlist if you want. So you can kind of build little collaborative playlists around topics. So like I have one that I had originally set up as an iMix, and playlists replace, or Ping playlists replace the iMixes, if anybody remembers that. A lot of people probably don't because nobody really used it.
Yeah.
Well, I want to point out that, Adam, since you converted your iMix, the mm-hmm. only iMix ever made, as far as I know, has now become a Ping playlist.
Yep. And that playlist, I had started way back when thinking I was going to do this cool playlist of all the music that has been in Apple commercials. But since I fell way behind, and I have stuff from like the original, like when Apple was doing the original Gumdrop iMac. I mean, this is how far back this goes.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, It's Not Easy Being Green is on that list because that was the music that played for the green iMac ad
mm-hmm.
that used to run on TV. So I have an Apple Ads playlist now that people can go in and they can add music to. So it'd be any music from the Apple ads. So hopefully that'll get built out.
Awesome.
Now that you can share it on Ping.
You can only put 100 songs in there, though. I have a playlist that basically encompasses all the music that I listen to, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't let me publish that.
Oh, well, then we're going to have to maybe break down by year or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But anyway, that makes it a little more useful, and then Twitter integration. So you can now find people through your Twitter followers or Twitter friends, which should make adding people a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to do that. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/MichaelJohnston. And I also do little reviews. There are little reviews of things that I like and don't like, and just, you know, Twitter-sized reviews. So twitter.com/LilReviews, L-I-L reviews, is that address. And with that, we will see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod. An iPod. Internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No.